Hello, welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. Sector plans for the beef and lamb, cereals and oilseeds, dairy and pork sectors have been published by AHDB as part of their commitment to outline how the levy will be invested over the next 5 years. Sector councils have been revealing the priorities to all levy payers at the Delivering the Future of Farming online event, and the full plans are now available to read on the website ahdb.org.uk. The reveal of the plans follows the responses given by levy payers during the Shape the Future campaign, when levy payers had their say about what work should be carried out by the levy board during the next 5 years. And AHDB say this will put levy payers at the heart of everything they do. I'm John Bates, and in this podcast, I'm going to find out about the work the sector councils have been doing throughout the summer and autumn to make funding decisions to support the priorities now set out for the future. So let me welcome Stephen Briggs. Stephen, thanks for sparing the time. You're the chair of the Cereals and Oilseed Sector Council. Just perhaps if we can start with, what are the priorities that have been set by the sector?
So obviously we went through a pretty lengthy process, and there were a lot of asks right across the sector from growers right through to processors and millers, who are all levy payers. And really that coalesced down to sort of three key themes, which will run as golden threads through all the work that we do in the Cereals and Oilseeds Sector Council at HDB. And that's really around trusted variety and product testing, so the sort of RL type stuff, the validation of efficacy of inputs, etc. Yeah,
the recommended list. Yeah.
The second theme being around sort of independent practical research and market intelligence, so the grain sales values, the export markets, etc., and also the research that the sector has always carried out in terms of pre-farm gate information on say varieties, on disease, on IPM, etc. So that's the sort of second thing, and then really working across the supply chain. So that's from at a farm gate level on farms, right through processors, millers, merchants, agronomists, etc. So working right across the supply chain. So thinking about things like traceability, assurance, etc., and how we engage and provide information and data at that level.
So how easy or how difficult was it to just reduce the list to three? That, to me, sounds like quite an achievement.
It was a challenge. How do you represent the views of a diverse sector and one that's changing with different market and economic conditions? And, what are today's priorities might look somewhat different in 5 years' time, and we'll have to be agile to reflect those changes as economic, political and market conditions change.
So I would imagine that levy payers will be interested to know how you're going to hold AHDB to account and really what the sort of the reporting procedure is.
So I think it's fair to say that in terms of setting this sector council plan, really what we've tried to do is set the what, what we should be doing to meet those demands of levy payers. How it's actually delivered, that's sort of more of an internal AHDB, how can it set the delivery framework for delivering what we've asked it to do. So, and then as a sector council, with that delivery framework set out, we will be keeping a close eye not only on outputs and deliverables against that plan, but also against sort of value for money and budget, and making sure that actually money isn't wasted and it's used as efficiently as possible. And some of that delivery might be internal, delivered within AHDB, and how AHDB is a different organisation today than it was 18 months ago because of what's happened with potatoes and horticulture, etc. It might be that we partner with other research institutes, other organisations, even commercial organisations, to actually deliver some of that research, which we can then translate into independent data and messages for levy payers.
And just to be clear, so the sector council has set the what the priorities are for AHDB, and that reflects what levy payers have told you.
Exactly, yeah. Now we've got that sort of set as a plan, we're working hard on actually creating that framework for delivery, and that may well be, you know, getting more resources in terms of people and skills. It might be partnering with other organisations to actually the how in terms of, you know, what we're actually seeking to achieve over the next 3 to 5 years.
And when you were arriving at that sort of shortlist of three, were there any surprises in that, or did it sort of meet your expectations?
Unlike some of the other sectors, some of the livestock sectors, actually a lot of the work that we're already doing, I think, is highly valued. So actually there wasn't a massive sort of shift in priorities, but actually some nuances within that are around how we do things better. So what data have we already got in the RL program, for example, that we could ask different questions of to achieve different answers? You know, what is there around the data we've got within the RL that we could understand more about drought tolerance or more about IPM that we're not currently asking? So the program doesn't look dissimilar to what farmers have already seen, because they've said views of levy bears was that largely what you're delivering is pretty good.
But there is some work that is now going to be stopping and certainly reducing. Who's going to pick that work up?
So I'll give you an example. Levy bears in that sort of voting process said that actually, you know, sort of whilst education and information was important, we've looked at it and said, well, actually with the formation of TIA, Education and Professional Development Institute across agriculture and horticulture, actually they're better placed to do some of that work than we are. So that gives us, you know, with the budgetary constraints, which everyone recognises, we can put more money into things that are priorities and let other organisations do some of the stuff that we might have been doing previously.
Stephen, you mentioned budget there, and the businesses listening to this obviously will be familiar with their sort of 3-year or 5-year spending plans. Can you give us some examples of what the spending plans are then for cereals and oilseeds?
So that's quite a tricky one as we sit today in sort of the end of 2022, in that, you know we've spent about 46% of the budget, 45% of the budget on sort of practical research and market intelligence, you know, another sort of 44% on variety and product testing. So that's around 90% of the overall budget has been on some form of sort of R&D. And as we sit today, as I said, we've decided what the priorities are now. We've published those in terms of the priorities. Now we've got to look at actually the delivery plan. And so by the end of March, end of the financial year, we've got to come up with a budget to fit that delivery plan of actually what that cost is going to be and work within the constraints that we've got. We're not hiding from the fact that actually the levy has been static since 2012. So it's a decade where the levy hasn't shifted. And with inflationary pressures, with the removal of VAT eligibility, etc., that, you know, in real terms, that means the levy or the money available has gone down by 38% over that period. So there are some constraints, and we have to make some hard choices about what we can and can't do. Hence, actually, perhaps working in partnership with others to get a better value for money where that's appropriate.
I suppose that actually also then poses the question about how confident are you that what you've set out can be achieved, given that there are such financial constraints, and should levy payers start to prepare themselves for the fact that there might be a levy increase?
Well, obviously, we can only deliver programmes within the budgetary constraints that we've got. We will, you know, in the early part of next year, we will be going to the industry, out to the industry, and asking them, again, on the back of this Shape the Future process, what their views are around levy increases. And clearly, there will be a range of views. But you know, businesses face a whole range of challenges going forward, you know, from a climatic and economic perspective, and that if they want HDB to continue to fulfil its role, they may have to be. We may have to look at, you know, where those levy rates are to be able to allow us to do the work that the valuable work that they want us to do.
Now, one unpredictable area, of course, is government policy, and that shifts occasionally. Has AHDB got the flexibility that it needs? Do you think it can react to the changes in demand?
Well, we've seen some pretty big changes in government over even recent weeks and days. And I think whilst we've set out a 5-year plan for the sector council, that's a framework. Document where we think that will guide us in terms of the sort of golden threads running through the work that we will aim to do over the next 5 years. But I think we recognise there is a need to be agile, and that as situations arise, now whether that might be adverse weather conditions, political unrest, or none of us could have foreseen what was going to happen in the Ukraine easily, and the ramifications that has had both on energy and grain supply. So I think the ability to be agile and to react to those things at a macro and a micro level is something that we must be prepared to do, but not only be prepared to do, but we must be able to do.
And just finally then, what happens next then? So will levy payers get their say about what happens with AHDB in 5 years' time, or how do you see things playing out?
Well, I would hope there's a much more frequent engagement than that. So the sector council and its members from across the cereals and oilseed sector meet on a regular basis throughout the year. Over this coming autumn and winter, members are going to be out on at events, on farms, you know, download the document, be familiar with the faces and come and speak to us. Because actually what we don't want is not speak to you for 5 years. We actually want to speak to levy payers on a very frequent basis and hear what your views are. And they will be varied and wide, and we recognise that. But actually, the only way we understand what levy payers' needs are and requirements are is by having those conversations on farm. So no, it's not about waiting another 5 years for the end of the plan and then having another one. It's about an ongoing conversation. And you know, if we need to change tack midway through, then we're prepared to do that to meet the ongoing demands.
Stephen, thank you very much for entering into a conversation with me on the podcast. It's great to have you on the programme. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
So that's the detail at a sector level, and it sets out the priorities for each of one of the sectors. Now I'm joined by Tim Rycroft, the Chief Executive of AHDB. These plans being set out in this way, that's an important milestone, Tim. Is that right?
It really is, John. It feels like a milestone on a long journey, a long and sometimes arduous journey, if I'm honest. But a very important moment when we've been able to deliver on the promises that we made to levy payers 18 months ago, that we would listen to them, we'd put their views at the heart of what we do, and we would directly link the priorities that we make to the priorities that they see on farm every day. And it's fantastic today that we've been able to set out a whole set of plans for each of the sectors that I think levy payers will look at and say that really does reflect the priorities as I see them.
Now, charting AHDB's progress in achieving these priorities, how's the reporting mechanism going to work with the sector councils?
Well, that's something that we're still working on, to be honest. These are plans that come into effect in April of next year. By then, we will have had to agree with the sector councils how they want to hold us to account. That's a very important part of this. As well as publishing the plans, of course, we AHDB now need to get on and deliver them, and we need to demonstrate that we're delivering them effectively and efficiently. So the sector councils will talk to us over the next few months about what they think are the key measurables, the objectives, the KPIs, however you want to describe them, by which they want to track that we're doing a good enough job and that they're holding our feet to the fire to make sure that we continue to deliver against the plan they've set out today.
Now, of course, the feature of having set out the priorities means that there are some things that are on the list, and sadly there are some things now that are not on the list. So the work that's stopping, what's going to happen to that work?
Well, we are looking at all the work that has been deprioritised as a result of the votes and the choices that the sector councils have made. We will look at to see if there are options to find other organisations that might take it up, opportunities to slow it down, to do less of it. The idea of actually stopping work in total is obviously a kind of last resort. So there's a certain amount of work and thinking going on at the moment about what areas of work might other organisations be prepared to take on. And some of that will come out over the next couple of months, I would think. So that's the process behind that. But I think levy payers who themselves live in a world where they have to make priorities all the time, make choices based on their limited resources, I think they will understand that we operate in the same world as they do.
So let's just talk about resources, because each one of the sector councils has been very clear to say that the resources are finite. There is only so much money, and so there have to be priorities. There, of course, also will be people that are saying that as the levy money has been eroded over the years through inflation and other things, there's a risk on the horizon, isn't there, that the levy rates are going to increase?
Well, you're right, of course, that the levy has not gone up for more than 10 years, and over that period, the spending power of the levy has decreased by about 38% as a result of inflation. obviously much more acutely in recent times as inflation has spiked up. There have also been some external factors like the change in our VAT status, making sure we fulfil our obligations to legacy pension schemes has also cost us some money. So yes, it's true that we are unfortunately able to spend quite a lot less these days than we were 10 years ago. And I think you're right that to some extent that begs a question. But I don't think we could have even contemplated the idea of asking the industry whether they would be willing to fund additional levy until we'd put ourselves back on the right track. Now, I think by publishing these plans today, we've started that process of saying we are back on the right track. So I think it's a conversation that now is perhaps on the horizon, but it's certainly not immediate.
There's lots of uncertainty in the world with interest rates increasing and the economy being extremely difficult for people. But government policy also shifts, it changes, there are different things happening all of the time. And I know that AHDB is an apolitical type organisation, but AHDB does have to react to that changing landscape. And if demands do change and government tries to influence agricultural policy in a slightly different way tomorrow than it is today, is AHDB in a position to be able to respond to that?
Yes, I think so. I mean, you're right to say that we have a different role from that of the farming unions. They are lobbying organisations, they are advocacy groups. Their job is to try and change government policy. Our job is not to do that, but to help levy payers navigate and understand government policy, and more than that, to inform better government policy. So we are active, if you like, behind the scenes, providing information, data, insight, wisdom into government to help them make good decisions. But you won't see us out on the public stage calling for changes to policy. And I think our maintaining our relationship with government, and even more importantly, our reputation in government for being a source of trusted and high quality data is a very important service that levy payers benefit from.
So let's end with what happens next. Obviously, you're committed to a 5-year programme of work. So levy payers get their say again in 5 years' time, do they?
Well, we committed that there would be a major vote at least every 5 years. So 5 years is sort of the maximum horizon. And like any 5-year plan, there's a lot more certainty in the first couple of years than there probably is in year five. Farming changes fast. I've learned that in my 14 months in this job. So I don't think anybody would say that these plans are set in stone for 5 years. Sect Council's job is to be in touch with what's happening in the industry and with levy payer sentiment. And if necessary, of course, we'll look at tweaking the plans. But whether we'll need to go out for a major Shape the Future type consultation again before 5 years, who can say? Possibly.
That was Tim Rycroft, the Chief Executive of AHDB. If you've got any comments about this podcast, ideas for future episodes, or you'd like to be a guest because you've got something of interest to say to levy payers, get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. The sector plans we've been discussing are on the website, ahdb.org.uk. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.